Now, this statement that our Savior made, it's not difficult to understand. It's very concise, and it's a very clear statement. But I'm going to say to you that our current age has clouded what truth is. From person to person, from generation to generation, truth has been greatly clouded, and quite frankly, we're suffering because of it. In a few moments, I'm going to show you an interview that was done on the Christian Broadcasting Network with a man by the name of John Cooper. Until a few months ago, I'd never heard of this man, knew nothing about him. And when you hear this interview, I want you to carefully listen to what he says. I want you to listen to what he says about truth. Now, you're my church family, and you've always shown me great respect as your pastor. And I believe that when I stand in this pulpit, you do all you can to take to heart what is preached from this pulpit as I'm led to preach from God's Word. At the same time, over these last several months, a number of things have been brought to my attention that has brought me to understand that now as a 60-year-old man, and quite frankly, very conservative in the way I see life, not to mention the fact that it's becoming more and more apparent that there is a generation gap. I started here back in 1995. I've been with the church for 20-plus years now as assistant and now the head pastor. As I grow older, there's more and more of a generational gap. And while everybody may respect me as the pastor, I personally get concerned at times that what I preach may be viewed, especially by you who are younger, as just simply old-fashioned and out of touch. Now, that may not really be what you think, but that is a concern. So I want you to hear from a man that is not an independent Baptist. He certainly is not from my generation. A man who is the lead singer of a hard rock Christian band. The band is called Skillet. I have heard of it. I knew nothing about it. Knew nothing about this man. I do not listen to rock and roll, either secular or Christian. I do not endorse it, nor will I ever encourage it. I would encourage you not to. I'm not here to promote Skillet. I'm not here to promote John Cooper. However, what you're going to hear has value. And so if you're like me that is turned off by the rock and roll culture, then you may sit here and say, well, I'm just not going to listen. You'd be foolish not to do so. If you're a young person and you listen to contemporary Christian music, you listen to rock and roll, those types of things, you may already be familiar with this man. And I'm not promoting, again, he nor what he does, but you'd be foolish if you did not listen to what he says. So, again, as you hear this, I want you to find the value in his words. And you can make your own assessment later on, but I simply want you to hear what this man has to say about truth. Now, we have had plenty of trouble with our internet. We're in the process of switching companies and trying to correct things, so we are doing this in hopes that it will play through correctly, and I trust that we are ready to do that. So, if you would, just please pay attention carefully.
High-profile faith leaders walking away from Christianity is making headlines. Joshua Harris, author of the popular book I Kiss Dating Goodbye, announced last month on Instagram that he was leaving the Christian faith. And Hillsong worship leader Marty Sampson says while he hasn't renounced his faith, he is struggling. John Cooper, lead singer of the Christian rock band Skillet, addressed the issue in a post on Facebook saying Christians need to value truth over feeling. John joins us now via Skype. Welcome, my friend. Everyone is talking about your Facebook post addressing the issue of Christian leaders falling away. John, why did you feel the need to write this post?
First of all, great to be here. I felt the need to do this, not to attack anybody, not out of hatred, not out of anger. I just was sad. I was depressed. These are people that had influenced my life, my kids' lives, my friends' lives, my church. And it's so saddening and so disheartening. And I just want to make a call to the church to grab a hold again of the preeminence of the Word of God. And that there is absolute truth, that Jesus is the way. And there's so, the social media platforms are so big, and these voices are so loud. I just want to say, hey, I'm really sad about this. I didn't think anybody would care about my post, to be honest. I didn't think anybody would even read it. But I'm sad about it, and I'm just pleading for the church to come back to the gospel, to come back to the truth of the Word of God that never changes.
John, in your post, you warn Christians to stop making worship leaders and other influencers, including yourself, the most influential people in Christendom. Explain what you mean by this.
Yeah, what I mean by this is that if you look the right way, if you sing the right way, if you sound the right way, then you can become an extremely powerful person in today's Christian culture. Because, unfortunately, the church, me included, my church included, my family included, unfortunately, the church is looking to be entertained. We are not looking to worship God as He ought to be worshipped. We're looking for people to feed us and entertain us. And so what we have is that we're elevating people that sing the right way, and we are letting things get away with lyrics and songs, perhaps. Skill. I've written a lot of songs that I would not want to be sung at church because they are not theologically accurate enough to sing about God's character. So that's what I mean about that. I don't want to be the person that people listen to. I want the Word of God, and there are people that are gifted and anointed from God to be sharing the Word, and that's who I want to see us elevate.
Yeah, you mentioned the preeminence of the Word of God. Let's talk about that for a few seconds here. You are urging believers to rediscover the preeminence and the value of the Word of God. Why is that so important?
Well, it's important because we're not just seeing this in the church, we're seeing it all of culture. We are basically seeing the grandchildren of 1960s postmodern thought, that absolute truth is done. What's true for you might not be true for me. We're seeing it in everything, in the universities, we're seeing it in politics. Everybody is so confused about what truth is, and the church is supposed to be invading culture with the kingdom of God. And instead, we are letting the culture invade the church. And that's not the way that we're supposed to do it. Jesus is the only thing in this world that will never change. Everything else is going to fall away. Everything else is going to change. But His Word stands forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we lose that, then we basically lose everything.
Real quickly, last question. You have been involved in the Christian music scene for many, many years. John, how do you stay balanced and true to the Word of God?
Through reading the Word of God, through studying it, through my pastors, through the people that I listen to. And as I say, I am no theologian. Nobody wants me to start being a theologian. That's not what I'm trying to do. I stay balanced by feeding myself truth, even when that truth can sometimes be somewhat inconvenient. There are things about God that I've had to struggle with. And I realize, you know what? If I'm struggling with who God is, it's not God that needs to change, it's me that needs to change. That's what lordship is about, and we are losing that in a generation of young people. And I think that we could be doing a much better job of preaching truth. And it's not just the leaders I'm talking about, I'm talking about all of us, the church. We need to say, you know what, I don't want to look for what is entertaining. I don't want to look to what tickles my ears. I want to look for what is right and true, and if my ideas have gone wrong, then I need to change my ideas of who God is.
Okay, terrific. John, thank you so much. I appreciate your insights and coming on the show.
Love it.
News of...
Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And this says it's no longer the truth, though. It's my truth. Now, how many of you have heard that phrase used, my truth? A lot of you have. Now, again, I'm not endorsing this man, but I hope you were smart enough to listen to what he said. Mr. Cooper made an interesting statement. He made the statement, the 1960s grandchild of postmodern thought is absolute truth is done. What's true for you is not true for me. And then he went on to say that everybody is confused about what truth is. And that's where our generation is today. That's where our culture is today. I'm going to be honest with you, it's greatly affected our younger generations, but it's affected my generation too. My generation is struggling with this as well. This crept in. Now, folks, listen, if we don't have absolute truth, we have no truth at all. You hear what I said? If we do not have absolute truth, we have no truth at all. It's interesting in the book of Judges, chapter 21, verse 25. You don't have to turn there, but you hear these words. It says, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that's exactly where we're at. You could put that verse this way. And every man observed truth in his own eyes the way that he chose and lived that truth the way he chose. Listen, if there's no absolute truth, then there's no truth at all. So I'm asking you a question this morning. Do you believe in absolute truth? I hope you do. I mean, it's come down to things as so simple as 2 plus 2 equals 4. That there's an absolute truth to that, but you'll have people argue against that. You know, there's two speakers, two monitors, and those two make 4. And there'll be people say, oh, no, it doesn't. It makes 3 or it makes 4. That's my truth. If there's no absolute truth, we're in trouble. We hear these terms used constantly, my truth. You've heard people say, I'm just trying to live my truth. Or your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth. The reality is that my truth is just a combination of my opinion and my experience. Therefore, that makes it my truth. Listen, your opinion and my opinion and your experiences and my experiences does not equal truth. You understand that this morning? My truth is not the truth. My truth is not the truth. My truth is something that someone tries desperately to convince themselves of in order to justify our actions and our opinions. My truth is not the truth. Your truth is not the truth. Let me give you an example. I read these, so this isn't original thought. I read this. It said, a scientist was speaking and said, the simple scientific truth is that aside from genetic anomalies, the human race has two genders as defined by a human's chromosomes. An activist responded, that may be your truth, but it is not my truth. I am transgender. Or how about this? A woman said to her friend, I'm leaving my husband. He's a really good, faithful guy and all, but I just don't love him anymore. It was a difficult decision, but I have to stand by my truth. And then her friend responded and said, oh, you're so brave. I'm proud of you for staying true to yourself. That's not staying true to yourself. That's a rejection of the Word of God. That's a rejection of the Word of God. Listen, folks, there has to be a foundation of truth. And for you and me who claim to be saved, claim to know Christ, that foundation is the Bible. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And that's the key. It's not my truth. And it's not your truth. It's God's truth. In Psalm 119, verse 160, the Bible says, thy word is true from the beginning. This book has always been true. This book will always be true. It's true from the book of Genesis until the end in the book of Revelation. This book is true from the beginning. Again, you heard this gentleman make this statement. And I thought it was pretty interesting. I hope you caught it. He said, there are things about God that I've had to struggle with. And I've had to realize that, you know what, if I'm struggling with who God is, it's not God that needs to change, it's me that needs to change. You can walk away from this church, and many have. And you can go somewhere else and find churches that will agree with what you feel. We find that all over the landscape of the United States today. We find that all over the world today. You can find churches that will agree with your lifestyle. I'm just going to be real blunt here. For some, you will know who I refer to. I'm not trying to condemn. But someone who used to sit in this church, this is years and years ago, and since it was a Facebook post given to many to hear by way of Facebook, which I have issues with that as well. I know I'm old-fashioned. On the Facebook page, the individual said, I now am coming out as a lesbian. And I have now found a church that supports me in my lesbianism. Brother, that is walking away from absolute truth. That may be your truth. That may be that person's truth. That is not God's truth. Truth does not change. Truth does not change. It may not please you, but God's not in the business necessarily of pleasing us. It's supposed to be the business of us pleasing God. I'm not hearing any amens to that. Do you believe that you are here to please God, to bring glory to God? God isn't your genie in the bottle. He isn't here to please you. He does many things to please us. But the reality is, you and I, we're here to please Him. There's some things I want to point out this morning. It's going to be short. About this My Truth movement. No, I'm not talking about the thing with women and the things that they have suffered. I'm talking about this attitude that we're talking about this morning. My truth, quote unquote, my truth justifies sin. His truth convicts of sin. So a person who used to sit in a fundamental Baptist church in which a lot of people get antsy about what is preached, it's too strong, too convicting, too narrow-minded, which is exactly why I showed you a guy like that who's not an independent Baptist, who is not, narrow-minded like this preacher is. And said, man, we got a problem. We need to go back to the truth. Even if it convicts us, it's not God who needs to change. It's me who needs to change. You can have a person who sat in a church like this and now comes out as a lesbian and finds a church that will support that individual in that lesbianism. Listen. My truth will justify my sin. His truth will convict of sin. John 16:13. Listen carefully. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. In that same chapter, we hear these words. And when He is come, talking about the Holy Spirit of truth, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. What does reprove mean? It means to convict or to expose sin in your life. The Holy Spirit's job is not only to comfort you. It's not only to seal you. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict you and expose your sin. And it doesn't do any good when you run from it. And it doesn't do any good to declare, well, I have my own truth now. No, you don't have truth, nor do I have truth. God has truth. And I'm to align myself with that truth. Secondly, my truth brings confusion. And our society is greatly confused. Greatly confused. His truth gives clarity. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Now listen, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. It's not that they haven't been exposed to the truth. It's that they hold that truth in unrighteousness. And then just a moment later, the Apostle Paul wrote this, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie. That's where we're at today. That's where we're at today in our culture. We are changing the truths of God into a lie. You name the subject, this culture, and many churches have joined the culture of changing the truth into a lie. Galatians 1:7, the last part of the verse, says this: "There be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Well, what's the gospel of Christ? It's more than just being saved. That's the beginning of the gospel. The gospel is the good news. The gospel is truth. And Paul said there are some that would pervert, that would corrupt the truth. And they're all around us. The Lord forbid that this ministry, Grace Baptist Church, would ever corrupt the truth. But you don't have to go too far away to find those who do corrupt it. I'm not here to try to condemn other ministries. I'm just telling you a fact that you already know. Thirdly, my truth is based on feeling. His truth is based on fact. My truth is based on feeling, and the feeling that has crept into our society. His truth is based on fact from the Word of God. John Cooper made the statement, "I don't want to look for what is entertaining or what tickles my ears. I want to look for what is right and true. And if my ideas about it are wrong, then I need to change my ideas." I'm going to tell you something. That was refreshing. That was refreshing to hear. Let me remind you what we're told in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." What's sound doctrine? Truth. "But after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Again, I find this to become more and more of an issue within even our churches today. A number of years ago, I had a pastor from another area call me, and he said, "I had a family in our church who were here for several years. They live in the Bridgeport area." He said, they'll never come back to my church. He said, "But I love them, and I'm concerned about them, and I want to see if I can at least get them directed into a church that's they're going to get the truth." He said, "Would you go visit them?" And I said, "Okay, you know, I'll do that." So I went out one day. I stopped by the house, and I began to talk to the woman there in the home. And I can't remember the exact words she said to me, but it was something like, "Well, you know, we attended such and such church for a number of years, and we have just matured in the way that we think now. We're just not there anymore. We've just matured." Is that what we call now changing the truth of God? We call it maturity? That we're going to reject what God's Word says because it doesn't match our lifestyles? We're going to change what the truth of God is because we don't want to be convicted? We're going to change what the truth of God is because we want freedom to do as we choose? Is that what we're going to call it? Maturity? I walked away and I thought, well, number one, I know that person would never come to a church like this. Secondly, they would be miserable here. I found something. This is the way I judge preaching. If it convicts me, it's good. And if it doesn't, it ain't worth listening to. Now listen, I understand. I had someone just a few weeks ago say something about my preaching, and it was negative. Hey, you kind of think about me, about the way I think about myself. I'm not the greatest preacher in the world. I understand that. Get long-winded. Understand that too. But I think part of our problem is we just don't want to hear truth. Whether it comes from somebody like me or the greatest orator in the world, we just don't want to hear truth. And we're confused about truth. And we'd rather stay in our confusion because we have fallen away from the foundation of truth. Somebody made a statement, "The truth is out there." Oh, listen, I'm here to tell you the truth is right in front of you. The truth is right in front of you. It has nothing to do with my truth. It has everything to do with God's truth. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the truth. And he's given us the word of truth. And you do yourself a world of good if you say, I'm going to stay committed to not Grace Baptist Church, not Pastor Vaughn, to this book. We've had a number of folks who have moved out of state this year. You know what? It's not them listening to Pastor Vaughn anymore or being part of this ministry here anymore. Brother, they'll have the Bible with them wherever they go. They need to be committed to the truth. I want to give you some pointers that can help you very quickly. Number one, accept that Jesus, the truth, has given you the word of truth. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you believe that Jesus is the truth? That's his claim. Listen, if his claim is not true, then Jesus is a fraud and a liar. But I have good news. I've experienced Jesus personally. He is not a fraud, nor is he a liar. Except Jesus, the truth, has given you the word of truth. If he is who he claims, and he is, then you can accept this. Secondly, go to the word of truth, the Bible, and search it out. If we have a foundation of truth and it's seated in your lap this morning, or maybe on your cell phone, listen. Then read it. Search it out. You know, some of you visitors, you heard announced about Awana Ministry. The word Awana is an international children's ministry. We've done it for, just about ever since the church was founded. We just celebrated our 40th anniversary here a few months ago. It stands for Approved Workmen Are Not Ashamed. It's based on 2 Timothy 2:15, and just about everybody that is a member here can quote it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Then what does it say? Rightly dividing what? The word of truth. Except Jesus, the truth, has given you the word of truth. Go to the word of truth, the Bible, and search it out. Jesus made an interesting statement to a bunch of religious leaders one day. He said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think you have eternal life. God's not impressed that I'm a Baptist. He's not impressed that I'm a preacher. He's not impressed that I've been in church all my life. And I love it. I love church. It is literally the best thing that you can do. But being a Baptist and sitting in a church house means nothing if you're not in this book constantly. Oh, how I love thy law. Thy word is the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. The Old Testament prophets talked about how they esteemed his word more than their necessary food. And brother, when I'm done here, I'm going to go eat. I'll eat today. I'll eat some food. I enjoy eating. You can tell. But he said, I have something far better than fried chicken or baked steak or baked potatoes or macaroni and cheese. What, you know, I'm making you hungry now. I got something far better. It's this book. And the final point. After you accept that Jesus of truth has given you the word of truth, and when you accept the challenge to go to the word of truth, the Bible, and search it out, listen, determine to accept the truth of God's word, whether it agrees with your feelings or not. I can't believe I'm quoting a Christian rocker this morning. But John Cooper said this. He said, value truth over feeling. Value truth over feeling. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. There are so many things about the culture today in which many, even in the Christian realm, now say that I am wrong in. I choose to stay true to the foundation of truth. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord and stay true to this foundation of truth. I don't know about you. I encourage you to join me. I encourage you to stay true to the foundation of truth, not your feelings. And then not only stay true, but obey it. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Jesus is the truth. His word is truth. And that most simplistic of all truth is that we are all sinners. And without him, we're bound for an eternity separated from God in a place of condemnation called hell. But that God who will pour out his wrath upon sin, in reality, has already done it when he poured out his wrath on his own son. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, became sin for us who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus already bore the wrath of God. He paid your sin debt. He paid your penalty so you never have to. And Jesus turns and says here, I want to give you what I've already earned and paid for. I want to give you a gift called salvation if you'll receive it. And all you have to do is receive it. But as many as come to him, he said he'll make you the children of God if you'll receive it. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's God's promise. As Romans chapter 4 says, it is a free gift. But you have to be willing to receive it. And if you're here this morning, you say, I don't know that I've ever received the gift of salvation. I don't know that I've ever allowed him to forgive me and come into my life to be my Savior. Then in a moment we're going to sing and we have what we call an invitation. We invite you to come and we'll have somebody step aside with you and show you from the Bible how you can know you have that gift of salvation. If you're not sure of that this morning, my encouragement would be please don't leave this place without being sure. If you're here today as a Christian and you have been teetering about truth, and confusion has been brought into your life because of what our society is suffering now, then I encourage you to recommit yourself to this foundation of truth, the Bible. Father, you use what we've heard today for your good and for your glory, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. We'll stand together with our heads bowed. As the ladies begin to play, if you need to come this morning to this altar, I encourage you to come.